Well, thank you for letting us take the morning. We really appreciate all the ways you guys have supported us and just the opportunity to get to tell you what we learned and just to know that you care about our spiritual growth and that you're invested in our lives. So we are going to start by just sharing some thank yous down the line. Grace, would you start us off and we'll just share microphones as we go? And
yeah. Well, there are a lot of things to be thankful for. Definitely one of my favorites was some fund money that a lot of people gave us. Some was anonymous and some was specifically given to us. And that was awesome because we found this ice cream place called The Brick, and it was the best ice cream I have ever had. If you remember from the video, I had a cone in my hand and a bowl. Those were not both mine, but I gladly would have eaten both of them. So just thank you guys for thinking about us and fund money and little things like that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for everyone that prayed for us on the trip. I just want to say thank you to Amy and Grace, and I thank them for all the work they put into this and behind the scenes of how much they actually really do care about us and the special connections they make with us, and they just really do care about us, that they're willing to put that much work into this group, and I just thank you guys for that.
All right. There's so much to be thankful for, like they were saying, but I wanted to thank everybody for praying because I know everybody does. There's so much support in our church for the youngins. And then I also wanted to thank all the youth, all the other kids for, do it every year. I was hoping I'd make it a little further than this. I want to thank the other teens for coming along and having good attitudes and just making it fun and having fellowship. Oh, geez. Yeah, thank you guys.
I want to say thank you to our leaders, especially for Daniil taking his time to come out and help Amy and Grace take care of us, and then also for the people who made it possible. I'm new here, and I'm very thankful that I got to be able to go on this trip with everybody else.
I'm thankful for all the teens that came also. I'm sorry, Elizabeth, I can't top your speech. Anyways, I'm thankful for everybody that came because I had a really good connection with everybody, I felt like, and I felt like I had a lot more bonding completed than ever, really.
I just want to thank anybody who donated to our trip. It wouldn't be possible without you, and I'm just really glad that me and all the teens and the leaders were able just to have a really fun weekend full of learning and just awesomeness.
I wanted to thank those of you that prayed for us. And then I also wanted to thank Amy, especially you.
Well, you too, but... I wanted to thank you for putting the time in and just letting us have fun and take a break from whatever we have here. It was really nice of you.
Thanks, Leah. I just want to thank the people who let us use their vehicles. It was a really great thing to have, and we had enough seats for everybody, and I think our car rides were pretty fun, at least on the guy side.
I'd like to thank all the people who prayed for us on the trip, and I'd like to thank Amy for planning it and stuff, and then Amy and Grace for coming along and having fun with us. So,
you're welcome. Yeah, just to kind of catch up, we've mentioned prayer, but definitely we were kept safe from some close encounters on the road, so thank you for praying. And I feel like also there were a number of prayer requests that I put in bulletin inserts that I specifically saw answered, so just really thankful for your dedication there. And also at the prayer send-off, it's just always encouraging for those people who can make it out just to see you there and get those hugs before we head on the road. And then again, I did want to thank for the vehicles, my parents for loaning us theirs, and Steve and Laura Lee for letting Daniel drive theirs, and that's a big ordeal, especially with insurance and all that. So thank you for trusting us with your vehicles and getting us down there. And I wanted to thank Lane for helping us out with the shirts too. So some of us are in our mismatched array. We wanted t-shirts, we wanted tank tops, we wanted it all, and Lane made it happen. So thank you for helping us with that too. All right, so we'll jump around a little bit. The first question I have is, did you learn anything new about God or yourself? And a few people wanted to answer that one, but Grace, I'll have you start off, and then Lachlan and Lucas, you guys can go next.
All right, so one of the things that we talked about is how faith is trust-based evidence. And I really liked just kind of that simple, concise summary, because a lot of times when I've read Hebrews 11:1, I don't know if it's the wording in my Bible or if it's me just not. But I just didn't quite understand kind of what that was saying. So just viewing faith as trust-based evidence was something that I learned that was new. And so when we were on our retreat, we looked at Joshua 3:14 through 4:24, and Amy titled it The Reminder Rocks. So kind of a quick summary, Joshua's the new leader, Moses is dead, he's got bunches of people that he's trying to lead, and so they need to cross the Jordan River, and not just the Jordan River, but during flood season. So basically God provided another miracle, and he gathers up all the waters, and he lets them pass on dry ground. And then he has them take 12 large stones from the middle of the river, and he has them line them up as a memorial. And so I thought that was really cool, because those big rocks were from the middle of the river during flood season, so it was clear evidence that he had gotten them through that whole river. And then it was just a physical reminder of his proof and faithfulness to his people. So kind of what I was like was, okay, I'm 26. I'm sure I have a lot of reminder rocks, but have I been paying attention to those reminder rocks? So it was a good encouragement to me to just kind of look at all the ways that God has been faithful to me and try and view it as like physical evidence and to try and hold on to that. And it was cool. I did kind of do some reflecting, and I felt like, yeah, faith is not this weird intangible thing now that I have these physical proofs and evidences that I can go back to. So I was really encouraged by that lesson.
Thanks. I had learned was, especially about God, is power he has. When we went and we saw the natural bridges and that had been made, you can clearly tell that he had made something so beautiful for us to see and walk on, and that he is always listening, because we as a group have prayed, and you guys here were praying for us, and we had been kept safe the entire trip, and that and that he is also he can also be a personal God to you as a human, as his creation, because you can talk to him whenever and hopefully wherever, whenever you need him.
Okay. All right. I definitely learned more about myself and God during the trip. And what I learned about myself is that I worry about what's happening in the world too often, more often than I should, about like family and all that stuff. And I should start looking to God instead of worrying about myself and my own issues, because it's just kind of selfish. But I also learned about God, and how I always knew that he forgave us if we repent, but I never really kind of went into the full extent of what that is. And so I could always catch myself doing little sins and thinking, oh, it doesn't really matter, it's just a little sin. But I started going into more depth about what Judgment Day actually holds, and I've tried to use that to better myself.
Wanted to answer, what idea or strategy from the Word has stuck with her since the retreat?
So it's not really an idea, but it's more of a phrase. But with God, I can do anything. And to me, it means a follower of God, they can stand or do anything. And they're not scared of judgment or they aren't really afraid of somebody or something. And I kind of got it from 2 Samuel 22:21 through 31.
say the thing that has stuck with me has been just the idea of worshiping more often in everyday life. And this is something we've been working on as a group for a little over a year, is bringing praise back into our prayers. So we were looking at four parts of prayer and realizing that a lot of times we thank God and we ask God, but we don't do a whole lot of praising or confessing. And so I think a lot of this trip has come from a place of just me really thinking about worship and praise more often and trying to bring that into my life a little bit more. And so we spent a lot of time this week looking at how do we worship God with what we say and also with how we live. So still for me, I think God is just working on building that worship and praise into my daily life more often. And Thanksgiving is a wonderful thing, but I think worship has been missing a little bit and praise has been missing a little bit from my prayer. So that's continually on my mind and something I want to keep working on. Our next question is, did you relearn an old lesson in a new way? And Evan and Elizabeth, let's let Evan go first and then Elizabeth can answer.
All right. Last year we touched on God's magnificence and his detail, which was also covered this year. And something I learned about it more this year was that how God controls all of it, and that if he wants to make anything happen, he can make it happen. If he wants to make the rocks cry out, he can make the rocks cry out. And I just really enjoyed knowing that and seeing his power in that.
Okay, is that better? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, the lesson I wanted to talk about and that I relearned or got a better understanding of was, we were talking about stability and truth. The lesson is, was talking about how God's word is fully true, and we're told that all the time as Christians and in church, and but we went a little bit more in depth into it. In showing how, in seeing God's word in creation and, the things around us, and understanding that that's proof of his word. And then in that lesson, we were also talking about how some of the ways we deny his truth is by saying, I know, but, I find myself doing that a lot, accepting certain parts of his truth, but not all of it. So it's just a good reminder and just a lesson that's a lot more in depth than I'd gone into it before.
Thanks, Elizabeth. All right, a couple people wanted to answer how they saw God revealed in his creation. Carter, are you ready to go first? Take the blue mic.
I saw God through his creation, with his strength and his mighty power. He is able to create the massive mountains that we were surrounded by on the trip with ease, and he has complete and utter control of them. He could make them disappear or make them grow larger by just thinking about it. In Luke 19:29-40, Jesus goes into a city riding on a donkey. The people of the city were cheering for him, and the Pharisees in the city told the people to be quiet. Told Jesus to make the people be quiet. Jesus said, "If the people were to be quiet, the stones would cheer for Jesus." And I can be a really prideful person because of the things I accomplish, and hearing this just is a really humbling effect on me.
After the trip, I think my eyes were really opened on how God was, because
I haven't really been that focused on Jesus through my life. I learn about him and I know him, but after this trip, I feel like that I was really opened. And for example, I went to my dad's house when I got back, and I left my Bible at my mom's, and I was kind of mad that I couldn't read it because I started reading it on the trip. So I feel like after the trip and spending a week with these wonderful people and learning more about him, I feel like my eyes were really opened by it.
So, in Kentucky, it's really easy to see how big God is and how small we are. He made everything unique and diverse. It was just really cool to see, like, the arches and just to stand on the top of a mountain and watch the lightning in the clouds. And you just think, God just made all this, and we are just so small. His creation is, like, so cool and amazing. I just love getting to spend time in it and to see parts of it that I've never seen before. It's just really fun.
All right, and then Ellie, you were going to answer the question, how did the Lord work in your heart?
I've thought that in my past and still that to show, I've found myself in a place where when people are cruel to me, I hate them, and I know that's not right, and I know that that should stop, and instead I should show love to the people who are cruel to me, and I need to show them God's love through me instead of showing hatred, because that's not going to get me very far, really, and because through everything God has seen me do wrong, he still loves me, and he forgives me through everything I've done. And there's many things that he's seen me go through, and he still forgives me, he still loves me, and I should do the same to anyone who shows cruelty to me or hatred to me even, so, yeah.
All right, we're going to talk a little bit about some of our fun parts of the trip. So, Evan, you wanted to talk about how God used the leaders in your life.
I enjoyed the company of all the leaders, but specifically Daniil, since he was my roommate. God did provide Daniil for our group. His schedule was really tight, and he didn't know if he was going to be able to make it, but God provided the opening, and he was the perfect fit for our group. Alongside him also came a Jeep, which was really nice as well. But I think he was a perfect fit for the guys and a great leader to show us what true Christian looks like in college and further in life.
All right, Grace, do you want to talk about the way you felt on the retreat?
Yes. So, on this retreat, kind of Amy mentioned it earlier, I felt like worship has been something that's missing from my life. So on our hikes this year, I really tried to just kind of, I mean, I'm a slow walker to begin with, so it's not hard to get separated from the group. But I just really tried when I was behind like that to just kind of breathe deep in God's creation and just like pay attention to small details and just admire him for that and things like that. So I felt like I was just really able to pray and praise, and it was just really incredible. We had this one hike. It was stinking hot in Kentucky, okay? I'm just leveling with you. Like 100 degrees, stinking hot. And so today then, it was raining, and that rain felt so good, and it was so cool and crisp, and it was just really nice and beautiful, and there was these mists hanging in the mountains of Kentucky, and it was just lovely and beautiful. And then we went off the beaten trail. It was safe, don't worry. And we hiked up to this mountain, and we're on this kind of flat area, and it's the first time that I have been above everything else completely. So you can like turn in 360 degrees and there's nothing above you. And that was just such a breathtaking experience for me. And the sky's all whited out because it's been raining. There's mists in the trees. So it's just really beautiful and aesthetic. And then we had technology with us. So Amy loaded a Jonathan Ogden song and we're singing and we're praising and worshiping. And one of the lines was, "Now you're seated at the right hand of the Father." And it was just really emotional to look up to the heavens and know that God is up there somewhere and Jesus is right there beside him. And I'm so close to him, and I'm so far from him, but this is the closest I've ever been to him. And I know right where he is, and I can trust that he's just got everything in his big, massive, capable hands. It was just a really worshipful experience for me.
Thanks. Leah, are you ready to go?
Okay. I kind of felt energized throughout the whole thing. I was happy to be there, and I felt like it was a break from reality, and when I got back, I realized I had nothing to do for the whole week, and I was kind of just bored the whole time. So it was a very long day, and like I was okay with it, but it was a little boring. But I was very glad I went. I had a lot of fun.
All right, several people want to share some funny memories. Carmen, are you ready to share yours?
A fun moment that we had was when we first got there. I know that me and Leah, we took our stuff upstairs, and then we walked all the way down to our little pond, lake, whatever it was. And so then we walked back up, and we told everyone, we got unpacked, and then we just all ran down there and we just swam, and it was a lot of fun because everyone was like, we were just messing around with each other, just like talking, and it was just a lot of fun to be with everyone like that.
Yeah. Lucas, are you ready to share your fun memory?
So, we went to Creation Falls instead of rock climbing. Me, Carter, Carmen, and Amy. And,
excuse me.
Oh, yeah. And Leah. My bad. But, anyway, so, I had forgot to change into my swim trunks because I didn't know that we were going to be swimming in the waterfall. So I was on the, like, very, edge of the waterfall, and I slipped in my jeans into the water. And so at that point I didn't really care, so I just started swimming in my jeans. So
one funny memory I have is, so it was just an afternoon and we weren't really doing much, just kind of sitting around, and Evan, Daniil, and Eliana they started playing Monkey in the Middle, and it was definitely one of the most entertaining, active, and interesting game of Monkey in the Middle that I have ever watched. So it was just, I just sat there and watched them play, and that was just really fun.
Grace, you have a fun memory to share?
So we started getting a little bit creative when the lunch supply was running low, and certain people were not eating, and my maternal instincts kicked in, so I'm like, all right, you're going to eat. So I came up with this chicken salad type of mixture on a tortilla chip, and I'm like, Evan, you're going to eat this. And he's like, nah, fam, nah. And so then Carter's like, I got this. And so I don't know if you saw in the video, but when Carter was roughhousing with Evan, that was basically what was going on. So he had a small tortilla chip with some chicken dip, and he's like, in comes the, open the hatch, blah, 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 like baby talking to Evan. And so Evan's laughing, and I'm thinking he's going to go for it, and then it turns into a wrestling match. And then at this point, I'm just like, I don't want to lose. So, like, I think all the girls ganged up on Evan, and we're, like, holding different limbs and stuff, and we're still not able to overpower him. Finally, we're like, Lachlan! And so Lachlan jumps in, and he's got, like, both of Evan's legs, and Evan's still kicking and thrashing. Limbs are going everywhere. I've got this chicken thing, and the first time it fell on the floor, chickens everywhere, and then the next time, I'm just like, I'm going for it. So I just smash it in his face, and then he spits it all up on my face, and now it's just chicken everywhere. But that was definitely a really good, like, we needed that moment at that time. So it was really hilarious.
All right. A couple of you wanted to talk about your favorite activity. Lachlan, you want to go first?
My favorite activity was the rock climbing, mainly because it was a little bit smaller of a group, so I got to talk to some people a little more than if you're in a big group trying to just hop around a lot, because I didn't know these people really well before that trip, but I feel like I know them a lot better now. But it impacted me because I always had encouragement from the people in the group, and they were always encouraging, and there was no doubt, and they made me They gave me all the confidence I needed to finish our last climb, which was by far the hardest because we had two warm-ups that were a little more simple, but the last one was starting to lose some energy, but all I had was encouragement from others, and I was also felt like I was given strength even more than normal just to finish.
Cool. Carmen?
The activity I chose was to talk about is ziplining because it just kind of made me realize how beautiful God created the Red River Gorge, the whole world, and everything that he's created in it. And I kind of, it's a little bit, but I got over a little fear of heights that I didn't even know I had.
Lucas?
My favorite activity was probably hiking up this huge mountain where it started to rain on us, but it felt honestly kind of good, and whenever we got up top, mist started to set in with thunder all around us, and like Grace said earlier, I felt a lot closer to God, and also it was my birthday, so that was pretty awesome.
Carter?
So my favorite activity was probably our later night Bible studies because we would do our morning ones, and then about an hour later we would probably eat lunch and then go on our activity for the day. And then when we would get home, we'd have like 4 hours of just nothing to do. And like, don't get me wrong, we had things to do with other people, but I would really get bored really quickly. Until our late night Bible studies, and I really had a lot of fun with those, and yeah.
They had a pool table in their basement bedroom, and Carter, I probably played close to 100 games of pool that week, so I don't know if that was the boredom fleshing out, but he was our resident pool shark all week. Ellie, you have a memory to share?
I also chose rock climbing. It's very similar to Lachlan's, but I said rock climbing because I just really enjoy like the thrill of rock climbing. I kind of wish we would have gotten higher. Maybe they don't agree that with that, but I kind of wanted a higher rock to climb, but it's okay. I did enjoy it, but I really like that we split up into two different groups and we just kind of got to connect with different people that we normally don't connect with, I should say. We connect with everyone, but it was just kind of nice to connect with a certain group of people and get to know people like the way you didn't know them before, you know? Mm-hmm. And I felt motivated by everyone in the group through the whole entire thing. Like, if I made one wrong move, they would be like, it's okay, you got it, you can do this, you know? It's just really nice to be with a group of people who you know is always going to support you and be by you and say you can do this, so...
Elizabeth?
All right. Mine was the same as Lucas's and how Grace talked about it a little earlier. The hike to Double Arch. Not entirely sure why it was called Double Arch. It was just one. Maybe we missed the other one, but it was just such a beautiful day, and like Grace was saying, it was raining, so... you got to break from the heat, and just seeing the mist rise from the mountains and being on top of that rock where you could just see 360 degrees around you on top of everything. You could see for miles. And then just taking a break and being able to sing to God while you're in that beautiful place, it just made you feel more connected with him. And instead of taking it, time and focusing on yourself while you're up there, being able to focus on God.
So I kind of had the same thing as like her, Lucas, and Grace. So basically, the day it rained, I think along with them, I feel like I did get closer to God. And when we were up there on top of the arch and stuff, like, it was just thundering and lightning, and like at one point I think I might have been the only one, but I heard like the thunder, it sounded like drums, and I was like thinking of like, this is kind of like
feels like to me like what the second coming is going to be like, but it's going to be like, it's going to be greater than that. It's going to be beautiful and it's going to be really bright. I don't know. Yeah.
So one activity I enjoyed was the rock climbing. I'd never really done rock climbing, but I really enjoy like just climbing things and stuff like that. So it was challenging to find good handholds because there was some of them were like barely had any. So sometimes it was really hard to find one where you could like fit your fingers in well enough to pull yourself up. And so it was just fun and exciting to try something new.
And Elizabeth, you wanted to talk a little bit about the strengths of our group on this trip.
Yeah. So the strength I saw the most, I think, was Ellie and Lachlan talked about it a little bit as well. Everybody was just so encouraging to each other throughout the week. If we were starting to feel down a little bit or maybe made a slip on the rock climbing, everybody was just there to lift you up and tell you to keep going and... No, it was just like being surrounded by such great people who, no matter what you're doing, is willing to encourage you and lift you up.
Side note, being lifted up on the rock was like a legitimate thing that this girl here needed because I am apparently extremely weak and cannot get this carcass up a mountain. So I'm glad that all the teens had fun. If you want to know like how what a mortifying experience it was for me, ping-ponging back and forth and just like feeling myself slowly being raised by the might of the guide behind me. Yes, I will tell you, you'll be in stitches. I was in stitches. It was a great time.
Yeah.
We were lifted up on this trip. Some of us more than others.
I really enjoyed Lucas's birthday. One of our family traditions is to share compliments about the birthday person on their birthday. So we did that at dinner. And I just thought everybody gave really genuine compliments about Lucas's character. And it just showed me like this group really does care for each other. And they're paying attention to who each other is as a person. And yeah, I was just really touched by that. It was also really neat that the pizza place had pizza that everybody with food concerns could have. So that was just a really neat gift from the Lord to make that day really special. And we got him an ice cream cake from Dairy Queen. And this is right around Father's Day. So all of the full-size cakes were about my dad. So he did have I Love My Daddy ice cream cake.
Yep.
And then just another one, I don't mean to just pick out one person because I do love you all, but in general, I was really impressed with Leah and just having been her youth leader from day one till now, just watching the way that her prayers have grown, her spiritual maturity has grown. And I could say that for all of you, that you're all growing, and I love the privilege of seeing that because I'm not your parent, so I don't deserve to be on this side of it, but it's a real privilege to watch all of them grow. And just Leah specifically this trip, I felt like you're becoming one of our leaders. And, you know, we're going to graduate Elizabeth here soon, and you'll be one of our, you know, oldest girls to really minister to those younger people. And it's just encouraging to watch all of you continue to grow and become who Christ wants you to be. So at this point, we're each going to share a little bit specifically from a lesson or a Bible passage and how that how the Lord used that in our life. So I think for this, we'll just start with Grace and we'll just go straight down the line.
All right. So the one that I picked was 2 Samuel 22. And we had to split that up into five parts because it's pretty long. So I really liked part 1 and 2, which covered verses 1 through 20. And so part of why I liked that was because it's basically just David's song of deliverance from all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And I'm just going to be honest, I have a hard time enjoying reading the Bible. And so it's been my prayer for many years for the Lord to give me a love for his word. And when I was in the throes of praying that, I just started reading about David. And so reading 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, and the Psalms. And those are my favorite books because I love how real and personal God is to David. And David attributes everything to passing through God's hand, good or bad. And I just love how intentional David views the Lord, and I want that in my life. So it's probably not a shocker then that this was one of my favorite things that we studied. it's definitely a challenge to me to look at how directly involved God is in my life and to view him as my fortress and rock. The first section was just about the declaration of praise, and those were like the first four verses that we looked at, and I just really want praise to be more evident in my life. I just want to be thankful and grateful for who God is and what he's done in my life and all just the wonderful things that he does for me, and I just want to praise him for his salvation more often. I kind of gloss over that. And then the next thing that I liked was in section two, and basically I really like how paradoxical God is. In this section, verses 5 through 20, it was describing just like how gentle and nurturing he was in taking care of David, at the same time describing how powerful and awesome and mighty he is. And I love that paradox, and that's something that my little finite mind doesn't understand. So anytime I see it, I'm just really like enraptured by it. And one of the things Amy said is, God is a God of light. So why did he come down in darkness? Why did he have to make dark canopies and dark waters and thick clouds? There's all this intense dark imagery. Why is that so necessary? And it's because he's so holy. David could not possibly be around that pure, bright light, that holiness, because we're all so sinful. So just seeing the humility of God and concealing his glory to be around us. He would burn us up and kill all of us with how pure and righteous he is. And I just think it is so incredible that he is so humble and willing to stoop so low for all of us and to cover himself in these darkness and things like that so that we can be with him and have fellowship with him. And I'm just really looking forward to being able to look at him when he is pure and righteous and holy and getting to see that. That'll be a wonderful privilege.
It's kind of touching up on, it's what Carter said. When Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, the Pharisees told him that the crowd needs to quiet down, and Jesus told them, even though if the crowd quiets down, the rocks would still cry out. And I thought, it was just like really interesting, because it's just kind of saying like, his praise can never be stopped. Even if, like, say, one person doesn't believe in him, there's still a whole community full of, like, Christians that believe in him and accept in him. And what stuck out in the lesson was that his praise can never be stopped and won't ever be stopped, and I just really like that.
I chose Philippians 3:8-10, and it's basically saying nothing compares to knowing God. No popularity, no money, no matter how famous you are, nothing in this world like matters compared to knowing God. That is something that you really have nowhere else. Like, God cannot be compared to anyone else. No matter what it is or where it's at, it doesn't matter, because God always wins and God is amazing.
The lesson I chose to go over today was titled God Esteem versus Self-Esteem. It talked about how self-esteem is pride and trying to fit in with the worldly things and maybe trying to be popular, and maybe that's not a bad thing in general, but it shouldn't be the forefront of your thoughts. But God esteem is focusing on God and what he wants for you, and praising him instead of looking inward. We talked about a whole bunch of verses in this lesson, but the one I want to focus on a little bit more is Colossians 3:2. It's talking about how focusing on worldly things is going to get you nowhere, because but you need to start focusing on the things that are going to last forever, like people and the things that surround you and your relationship with God and growing in your faith. sorry. It's something I feel like I need to, or I struggle with sometimes, because I get caught up in maybe my plans for the future or and getting too focused on those instead of letting God take plan and take charge. Because I make all these plans and I want them to go exactly how I want them to go. Being able to let myself go into God's plan and be okay with that. Because in the end, His is always better. it's just something I feel like I need to work on and focus on a little more.
What I really liked was Psalm 62:5-8. It's talking about how you should have the confidence and you should know that God is always listening when you pray. When you praise, thank, ask, confess, He is always listening to you. Because He is our creator, protector, and our salvation. And that we should always worship Him, but we shouldn't be afraid to go to Him when times are hard. And I think it really helped. It really gave me more confidence knowing, especially our leaders who have probably been through a lot of this and maybe struggled with confidence and listening, knowing that they are telling me that that He is always listening and that your faith is something that can't go away because you have that confidence. If you always have it, then you should always be willing to talk, and also you should always listen to others as well.
So the passage that I wrote about was Philippians 4:6-8. It basically says, do not worry about tomorrow, just focus on the task at hand, and you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can like possibly understand, because we aren't on God's level. We are not anywhere close to His level. And it makes me feel really free from, it makes me feel happy and just happy for when the second coming comes, and it happens, and it's going to be really cool, and it makes me feel free from worry, and it's probably changed my thinking about future challenges.
So, there are a lot of verses that stuck out to me, but the one I picked was 1 Peter 5:7, which says, cast all your anxieties upon Him, because He cares for you. And, like I was saying earlier, worry is something that I definitely struggle with, and there are a lot more verses like this that I was going to pick, but they basically just say that worry is a form of anti-worship, because you're basically saying that you don't trust God enough to let Him resolve your problems for you, and that you think that you can do a better job controlling what goes on in your life than He can. And I know that everybody's gone through this to some extent, obviously, but there's some stuff in my life that, like I said, I worry way too much about, and I feel like I just need to chill sometimes and let God heal whatever's hurting me instead of me trying to fix it myself.
The verse I picked was also Colossians 3:2, and I kind of thought of it as think of the future as heaven and not the present as now. And kind of what I said earlier about being on the arch and feeling like it was His second coming, I kind of, when it was going around, like this verse kind of just popped in my head, and I kind of related it, I guess, to
that. Lachlan already said one of mine's, but I also did the Psalm 62:5-8, but there was a second verse for it, which was Luke 6:46-49, and the summary of both was basically just trust God, live in His name, and desire His glory, but you also have to realize that God is personal. It kind of stuck with me because I enjoy the comfort of His hands and knowing that I'm saved, and just really helps me personally live out the life of a true Christian. And yeah.
So, I picked Joshua 3:14 through 4:24, and that's when Joshua crosses the Jordan River with all the Israelites. The miracle when God parted the Jordan River showed the people that Joshua was God's chosen leader and that they could trust him. Then one man from each tribe went to the middle of the river, and they each brought back a big rock. Then they used those big rocks to build an altar to God, to remind future generations not to forget what God had done for them. The story is also a good reminder so that we don't forget what God has done for us. It can be really easy to forget what God has done for me in the past when things are hard. God is faithful, and complaining about whatever situation I'm in doesn't really get me anywhere, so I always need to remember what God has done and then be thankful.
And I also picked out from the lesson that Elizabeth touched on about focusing on esteeming and valuing God more than trying to just build up my own self-esteem, because that really isn't going to fix my problems anyway. God is the source of the peace and the comfort and the belonging and the love that we all really want. The one idea from that lesson that really stuck with me the most was the idea that self-esteem isn't a thing that, like, I should pity myself for. I think a lot of times our culture wants us to feel sorry for people with low self-esteem, and, you know, and we should be encouraging to others. But I think the real issue with my self-esteem is if I'm comparing myself to other people, that's actually the sin of coveting. And so if I'm just feeling sorry for myself, I'm not going to overcome that sin. If I'm down on myself because I want to be good at something and I'm not, that's pride. And I'm not going to overcome pride by just feeling sorry for myself. So in any number of ways, I think my self-esteem actually, if it's low, that needs to be an indicator that I'm turning to something other than God. And that means I can repent of that sin and the Lord can give me victory over it. But if I'm just feeling sorry for myself and wanting other people to make me feel good about myself, I'm just letting that sin live in my life. And I'm not free from it and I'm not overcoming it. And the Lord wants me to overcome it. So that's what stood out to me the most. And just to turn, instead of to myself or to others to build me up, just to turn to the Lord and esteem him and praise him and worship him and ask him to change the way that I look at the world and the way that I look at myself. So thank you for giving us all this time to share what's on our hearts, and please feel free to ask us if we were confusing or jumbled in any way. But I'm proud of the teenagers for getting up here every year and being willing to do this, and just thankful that you guys care so much about us. Thank you.